to feel down. But I hit the ground running, makes me feel alive. I was searching for the answers until I changed the question. I pulled back the curtain. The ground running makes me feel alive. I see what my passion emits and press past the limits.
Hello and welcome to the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show. I am your host, Sean Wolford, as always joined by George Jones and Kyle Patton, along with Stuart Rogers, who's also here for the next hour talking professional wrestling. And guys, how are we doing today? George?
Yeah, I'm really, really good. Despite a really bad week in wrestling, as usual, nothing out of the ordinary.
Kyle, yourself?
Doing good besides some unfortunate news we all heard today.
That is true, yeah. And Stu?
Exactly the same. Glad to be a part of the show. It's just a shame it's bad news wrestling-wise today.
Well, yeah, we'll get on to it in a minute. Let's first off tell the listeners what we've got coming up on this week's show. First off, we have all the latest WWE and TNA news, including the sad passing of a wrestling legend, as mentioned earlier. We also have WWE Over the Limit preview, if there is even necessary for a preview, with the amount of build there's been. And a review of this past Sunday's TNA pay-per-view. So, guys, let's crack on with the news. You've all mentioned it pretty much there. First off, let's start with the sad passing of Macho Man Randy Savage. Savage was driving his Jeep when he had a head collision with the tree. It's believed that a heart attack following the incident is what killed Savage. Guys, first up, have you any of you seen the images or the videos from the crash? They are pretty damn bad, obviously, as you can imagine. The whole car is completely ruined. I mean, what are you guys' thoughts on him? I mean, we all know he's a true legend in the business. Stu, why don't you start kick things off today?
As far as the pictures, all I've seen was the Jeep crashed into a tree. I've seen nothing else. But as far as Savage, obviously been following wrestling since 1990, so I've seen a lot of majority of his WWF stuff, most of his WCW stuff, but then even delved back history books and seen a lot of his Memphis stuff, which was very good because Memphis style wrestling was always appealing to myself, and that stuff he did back in the day was very good. He was always, if you didn't know it already and you just seen his Memphis stuff, you knew he was going to be something special, and he was.
Yeah, I think he's had an influence, obviously, on a lot of people in the business today as well. And, it's a massive loss, huge, huge loss. Kyle, why don't you add to that your thoughts and opinions?
Yeah, it's definitely a sad day in pro wrestling. As you guys mentioned, we lost a legend today, icon in pro wrestling. We're still waiting on a few of the details that'll come out this weekend after his autopsy. But as a person, or as a professional wrestler, Macho Man was one of the greatest. He'll never be forgotten. Obviously, I mean, he's literally he's literally carved into history. I still go back and watch his WrestleMania match with Steamboat from time to time, and watching Steamboat take the Intercontinental title from him, it's one of the best matches I've ever seen. Definitely sad, sad day for wrestling.
Yeah, and George, your thoughts and opinions on this?
Yeah, it's an absolute tragedy, really. He was such a larger-than-life character. I think he was pretty sure to get inducted into the Hall of Fame next year, considering he made an appearance back in the WWE All-Stars game recently. It's just such a shock, really. I was so fond of his work, particularly when he had that feud with Jake the Snake Roberts. That's always stuck with me ever since I was a kid. I just think it's going to be, the world's going to be a lot more, the wrestling world's going to be a lot more quieter without him there, basically, as such. It's just a shame, really. We haven't seen him in the main spotlight since 2005 Final Resolution.
Yeah, I mean, we were seeing him start to pop up more in these WWE-related things, i.e. the video game All-Stars, and little bits of promotion here and there. And it's a shame that it's come to terms like this quickly and sadly at the end. But, you know, it's the only upside from this is at least it wasn't a like sort of tragedy from drugs, unlike the majority of the rest of wrestling deaths. But, I mean, guys, let's move on from the sad note on to another story, which is WWE talent now requiring to have medical insurance, which they must pay for. First off, guys, I want to ask you, is this a good call? Should WWE be paying for it themselves? George, why don't you give your thoughts and opinions?
I think WWE should pay for it for the wrestlers. The wrestlers are obviously doing them a favour by helping them increase their pockets as such. I think definitely the WWE should pay for it, but it's quite sneaky of WWE like making the wrestlers pay for it. But I'm not impressed with that, to be honest.
No, I think it's quite cruel, you know, especially for this younger talent that obviously aren't going to have too much cash already from working in FCW and around the indies, that straight away they're expected to have medical insurance. But, you know, I think most guys out there already have it who are working in America, obviously, with things not over here. We have free healthcare, so it's slightly different. But, Kai, why don't you give your thoughts?
I definitely think that WWE should be paying for it, but let's not forget these guys can write it off on their taxes, claiming it as business expenses. And WWE does take care of all surgeries and procedures required after an injury in the ring or while they're performing. And also, you know, for their drug rehabs and blah, blah, blah. But I do think that WWE should be handling it, but it's not as bad as some people make it sound.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, especially the whole note of WWE paying for any surgery, etc. needed. Stu, why don't you give your thoughts and opinions?
I'm glad that it's finally been done, but I don't think it's that much of a bad thing that WWE are not paying for it. Just the fact of, although you said some of the younger don't earn that much, to still making a good living. And I think Kyle touched on it just a second ago that, you know, one thing WWE does pay for, any type of drug issues that any past or present wrestlers have, they cover that. And I think that thing they do, like I say, paying for rehab for past wrestlers, I think is quite amazing, to be honest with you. So I don't knock them for, you know, not paying for all the insurance for the wrestlers, and, you know, they have to pay it themselves. I got no real problem with that, to be honest.
I think the other good thing about this is that if the guys are paying it and it's quite expensive, they're going to feel they want good use out of it when it's necessary. You know, some of these guys might try and avoid using medical insurance just for the cost sake and injury sake and what they might lose in terms of push. It might actually come out to them more as if I should be using this because I'm paying for it so much. But let's move on to my next story, which is Triple H being advertised for WWE's up-and-coming Money in the Bank pay-per-view event. Guys, what's your thoughts on this? George, why don't you kick things off?
Obviously, Triple H is arguably the biggest WWE superstar. And for him to come back, it'd be interesting to see how he comes back, whether he'll come back actually in the ring or as a non-ring appearance on July the 17th. Recently, Triple H has been behind sort of the crafting of Karma and Sin Cara. I'm just going to be interested to see how he fits in and what he will do. I'd be very surprised though if he's not somehow involved in some sort of match, maybe as a referee or something. But it's very good return for that star of talent pool of WWE.
I just want to chuck this out there too. Does it not seem as a bit of an odd pay per view to bring back someone like Hunter in like Money in the Bank, where it's all high risk and you're kind of focusing more on your lightweight or middleweight classes? Not, you know, you'd maybe bring him back in SummerSlam or something. I don't know what you guys' thoughts of this, Stu.
I just think it's a case of that, just for the fact it's been advertised as opposed to a surprise, you know, it's just a case of bringing him back and advertising that he's coming back just to get some buy rates. George mentioned it just a few seconds ago, you know, the talent pool's pretty starved. There's not much there, appeal for the WWE at the moment, especially for someone like myself who, you know, is not the biggest fan of them anyway. So I think what they are looking at is the name Triple H, and hopefully you know, maybe generate some more buy rates, because there's a certain amount of pay-per-views throughout the year, the WWE, that just don't draw. And I think, to be honest with you, this one probably would have been one of them, considering who's not there anymore.
Carl, I want to ask you what your thoughts on this are, and then I'll move on to some other questions around this story. But why don't you go ahead?
Well, it's no secret WWE is hurting for star power right now. A lot of people are gone, especially now that Edge is retired. And the numbers on TV have shown that people are starting to tune out now that WrestleMania season's gone and The Rock's gone. It'll be interesting. Guys, you kind of noted on this, but it'll be interesting to see what they do with him at the pay-per-view. They're obviously just trying to pick up some buy rates here. And get things moving now that all the big stuff with The Rock and stuff is done. We'll have to see what happens, but WWE is just trying to get something going here.
I also want to ask you guys: who do you think he'll feud with, and do you reckon they'll put him on a specific brand? Personally, for me, even after the draft, SmackDown's still lacking some main event star power, and I'm thinking that they might put him on there just to gain a bit of momentum for SmackDown side of things. And possibly balance/even things out. George, why don't you give your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he should really go SmackDown. I don't think he will, though. I don't think he's prepared to work Tuesdays, being like, just no joking aside. I think he'll come back and feud with Sheamus. Sheamus is on SmackDown, sorry. He might actually come back and feud with one of the top guys on Raw as such. I don't know, really. It depends if he's going to come back as a heel or face. I don't know. He's better just sort of back as more like a referee or something, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, the only other option I'm just thinking there, and I know it's very unlikely, and as you said, he's probably going to end up on Raw, is where is Taker at the moment? Because I know he's not back, but could this be sort of a midway point of just keeping that feud between Taker and Hunter in the balance, just so people aren't forgetting about it for next year's Mania? George, Stu, why don't you give your thoughts on that?
I think George beat me to it, to be honest with you. Wherever the brand is that he goes to, I think that the feud that should have happened with Sheamus didn't happen, and I think that's what needs to happen. As far as who's going to work with or not, I think working with Sheamus is what's needed to get him over, and just a feud we want to see as fans that could be good matches.
Yeah, no, that's a good point there. I mean, let's move on to what my one of my next stories on the list here is TNA launching their new mobile game, which is, I believe, available on all iOS formats. So, for example, your iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad, and possibly the Android device. I'm not too sure on that one. The only reason I really bring this up is because it was developed by such a top gaming company, Namco, and the other thing I'm kind of laughing at is from the screenshots you play in the TNA Impact Zone, not the Impact Wrestling Zone. I don't know what you guys think about this, if it's just TNA lacking again to update people on, actually, we're releasing this game on the same night as we changed the company's sort of brand almost. Do you not think it becomes just really stupid in the marketing? Yeah, Jordan, why don't you expand on that?
I sort of think it's just funny how they're still going with Impact despite the fact that they've changed it to Impact Wrestling. It's not even TNA anymore. I think the only good thing about this game is that it is made by a good company, as you said, and it definitely is on Android. I'll confirm that now. It does look like it's got some good modes: career mode, cage mode, tag team, and submission mode. I think it would just be interesting. I know Hulk Hogan's on the game. It would be good just to get basically pin him. I hate him.
I mean, the other thing is, after that really bad game they released,
it's awful. It's got to be the worst wrestling game I've ever played.
I spent £7 on that, and even still I was angry I'd wasted the
money. I paid 30 when it first came out. It's the
Ouch.
Worst money I've ever spent.
There was no game modes on it other than tag and single.
It was only released really to build up Suicide. That was the big mystery, and then they got bored of that.
Yeah, and they're still bored of him now. They're putting him with that the Sin Cara ripoff with high
Masquerado.
Yeah, but anyway, let's get off TNA's dodgy gaming platforms and go to the new TV set for Impact Wrestling. It's not really a change in the arena as such, or not arena, but Impact Zone. It's more just a slightly different Titantron, along with the apron being changed. I mean, Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts on this change and whether you actually think it's made any improvements to the Impact Wrestling Zone as it is now known as?
Well, I definitely think it's an upgrade from what we had previously, but at another side of it, it feels like to me we went from Raw Light to SmackDown Light now on Thursday night. So, I mean, it is an improvement. It does look higher quality than they were showing before, but it really, come on, they couldn't come up with something a little bit more original with the look. I mean, every comment I got about this this past Thursday was that it looks like SmackDown. So, I mean, it does look better, but I just thought it could have been more original.
Yeah, no, it's not really trying to go out there again. It's sort of just we've kind of copied bits and pieces from Raw and SmackDown and mixed them together. I mean, I would have loved it if they put that Sin Cara lighting on for it. That would have really sunk in for me, but, you know. Anyway, the final story here for the moment is TNA versus AAA at the Triple Mania event. Thoughts on TNA working with another independent company? Stu, I don't know whether you want to give your opinion on this. What do you think?
I've not heard too much about it. I did hear a little bit about it yesterday that it was happening. I've got nothing bad to say about it. I think it's quite good, to be honest.
Yeah, I just throw this in there. I've not got the full card in front of me, but I believe there is quite a few knockouts on the card, as well as Samoa Joe and one or two other big talent. Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts on this?
I definitely have no problem with it. This is they've been working with companies for a while now, and this is not their first time with AAA. I definitely think it's cool to cross-promote like that. I wish we would get to see a few more of the AAA guys come to TNA like they did in the past, but it's cool that they go down there and promote it. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing really too much to it, but it's not bad.
Yeah, no, it'll be an interesting story. Well, that's what I've got for my news this week. Stu, you attended the Pro Wrestling NOAH UK show last week in Wolverhampton, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Wolverhampton, yeah.
I've just got a few quick questions here. First off, how full was the venue?
Well, it was officially announced. It was actually announced as a sellout, which I'd say was that being sold out maybe 250, 300, something like that, which doesn't sound too good, considering especially the last NOAH show they did over a couple of years ago. But, you know, the fact that it was full, despite, you know, a massive place, you know, made it all better and a bit more intimate. And it was a great setting overall, as well as a great show.
What was the work rate and matches like from the guys?
Brilliant. I know there was quite a few people there that I knew. Including someone by the name of Mohammed Chatra, who writes, been doing newsletters for years and obviously works with Paraslam magazine now. And he says to me straight away, after like three or four matches, he went, this is easily the number one show of the year so far. And he gets to see all types of wrestling. And he's all, you know, this was after four matches. And then obviously by the end of the night, he says, this is never, I can't see this being beat. And he says, that's how good the show was.
Can we get a match of the night from you?
Yeah, quite easy. The match of the night. It was pretty obvious from myself because we're a bit biased, being such a big Ring of Honor fan, that it was the Kings of Wrestling against Takeshi Morishima and Taniguchi. I wasn't over familiar with Taniguchi.
Right. I just want to ask you as well. I believe you attended like the as such fan access part of it. What was that like? I read some of your Twitter comments and it didn't sound 100% set up well in
that. That was a thing. You know, initially it wasn't set up too well. The queuing system going in, it was dark in there. It wasn't well lit. And the queue system was all wrong. It took after about 15 minutes of people starting to go in for Mark Sloan, the promoter, to come out and say, listen, you don't need to stand there. You can filter through and then work your way back here, there and everywhere. So once you was in there, it was okay and, you know, there was no problem whatsoever. All the wrestlers were friendly and, like I say, you've probably seen some of my pictures and whatever, you know. But that was okay to be thinking. It was just a start that got annoyed me, to be true, because so much time has been wasted.
So overall, can we just get like a star rating out of 10, say? What
in for terms the, for, of, for the
go ahead.
Yeah. So, for the actual show, I'm saying easy, what, 9.5 stars, if you want to say out of 10. As an overall, the combined two things, you know, I'd say, you know, averaging out about 9 stars.
Right, that's interesting. I mean, thanks for the information there, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. But yep. When we return, guys, we're going to have a WWE Over the Limit preview. So stick around, you'll be able to check that out.
Hey everyone, I'm here to tell you about my wrestling reality show called Laugh or Cry TV, which is at laughorcrytv.com. It's your ringside seat to my adventures inside the wrestling ring and outside the wrestling ring. Laugh or Cry TV features my wrestling career, as well as stunts like a 30-foot bridge jump, family incidents like my dad cutting a tree with boxing gloves, and street trouble like me sleeping in a bed shop. I nearly died 9 times while filming. That's how crazy it is. And you can watch my show, the world's first unscripted reality show, Laugh or Cry TV, every Thursday on laughorcrytv.com. Now, what does the media think of the show? Well, here's some quotes. Funny. The Sun newspaper said that. Funny. That was the Telegraph newspaper. Funny. Bizarre magazine. Funny. BBC Three. Funny. BBC Radio. Funny. True TV. Funny, New York TV. Funny, The Citizen. Funny, Most Daring TV Show. Funny, USA Cable TV. Funny, Twaddle Magazine. Funny, Las Vegas Radio. Funny, Nash Entertainment. Funny, A Hollywood Company. Funny, The World Society for the Protection of Animals. Funny, Heart Radio. Funny, Q Magazine. Funny, Total Kiss Radio. Funny, Tangoed Films. Funny, Camden Radio. Funny, London Radio. Funny, BBC Radio 4. Funny, Tom Green. Not funny. That was my nan that said that. Laugh or Cry TV, every Thursday at laughorcrytv.com. Your ringside seat to my adventures inside and outside the wrestling ring. We are back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show for the next 30 minutes discussing the WWE Over the Limit pay-per-view, which takes place this Sunday live on pay-per-view. Guys, let's do a brief rundown of what is going to take place on the show. First off on my list here is the Tag Team Championship match between Kane and The Big Show versus CM Punk and Mason Ryan. First off, my prediction is probably going to be Punk and Ryan going over and winning. I feel that they're pushing these two to work together well, coincide well, and I can tell WWE really liking the style and look of Mason Ryan. My only issue with this is really how many times do we have to see Kane the Big Show versus members of the Nexus. I mean, guys, what's your thoughts on this? I'm going to ask George first. Go for it.
Yeah, I would agree with who you said to win. I think the reason why they'll win is hopefully they've got sense. They'll let Kane go off on his own and do something. But I think CM Punk has been like sort of, he's added a bit of class to that team. I'm actually quite interested to see this match. I just hope that Kane and Big Show it'll really kill CM Punk's and Mason Ryan's quite a bit, despite Mason Ryan can't really work as such.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be one of those matches that is, I mean, it wasn't really built up, was it? It was just kind of thrown on the card, which is slightly frustrating, but again, you know, none of the rest of the cards have been really built up that, or none of the rest of the matches have been built up that well. Kyle, what's your thoughts on this?
I definitely think WWE's using CM Punk to help build Mason Ryan. As you said, it looks like they see something in him. He's definitely got the look. We'll just have to see if he's got it in the ring. I think I agree with you guys. I think that CM Punk and Mason Ryan go over here, and hopefully it'll help Nexus a little bit, and then eventually Mason Ryan can go off on his own.
Yeah, I mean, let's move on to the next match on the card, which is Rey Mysterio versus R-Truth. This is one of the ones that hasn't been built massively, but I think it's been built up enough compared to Kane and the Big Show and certain other matches on the card. I think it won't be a bad match. I'm going to say Mysterio winning here. I'm going to switch and go with Truth, just because I think they're really trying to push him as a heel. I like the way that it's been built up, that Mysterio's stolen Truth's shot. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, George, what's your thoughts on this match?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a Mysterio win. The reason why I'm going to go for Mysterio is I don't think they've got the faith in Truth sort of as such to beat one of their major stars. Yeah, it's a short-run feud, basically. I think they've sort of panicked and sort of just put these two together. I half expect, if they've got any sense, Del Rio will get involved somehow.
Yeah.
It's not even on the card.
You know, just looking at that, that is really bad, isn't it? I've just seen that he isn't. I mean, Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts on it?
Well, I think that WWE is smart here. R-Truth will go over, because I think they're eventually going to set up him and John Morrison at SummerSlam or when he comes back. And R-Truth does need to build some credibility. He's definitely drawn some interest with his heel character, which is something he didn't do when he was a babyface. I kind of agree with George on the fact that I do think Ray's going to go over, but I'm going to pick R-Truth because that's who should win Sunday.
Yeah, I think it'll just be a matter of what WWE are thinking on the night or in the future as such, of who do we really want to push? I mean, will they want to give the kids the upset and make Mysterio lose? It'd just be interesting to see. Let's move on to the next match, which is for the Intercontinental Championship. And it's Wade Barrett versus Ezekiel Jackson. Another guy that they seem to be giving some sort of a push to over on SmackDown. Guys, thoughts and opinions. Kyle?
I'm going to go with Ezekiel Jackson. I don't think Wade Barrett's Intercontinental title run has been really that great, and I think that they're really pushing Jackson here in his new babyface role. And the crowd seems to be behind this guy, despite the fact that he's not very technical in the ring. But I'm going to go with Ezekiel Jackson.
And George?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Wade Barrett. I think the rest of the stable will get involved as such. It should be an all right match as such, but it'd be interesting to see. They do like people that are sort of built up WWE. Maybe Ezekiel Jackson will get the rub, but I am going to say Wade Barrett, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same as you, George. I feel that the core may well end up interrupting this match. But the only other alternative is that they do turn on Barrett and end up making him lose the title. Do you have any thoughts on this, Stu? I know you're not a massive fan of the product, but if you've got any, just...
I don't think they'll take the Intercontinental title off Barrett. Not yet. I mean, I think from when I was watching, they messed up his push anyway. You know, there was talk of him facing Undertaker back at WrestleMania, and they nixed it, brought in Hunter and went down that route. And I think they realised, thinking, you know, they've got something there with Wade Barrett, and they've given the IC title. I don't think, I'm not saying they won't take it off him soon, but I don't think they'll take it off him this pay-per-view. And that's without me seeing the build-up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm just, sorry, through the back of my mind, I forgot I've not got the Divas match, which I believe you do know, George. Is that correct?
yeah, it's going to be better versus Kelly Kelly. So I think it's pretty much another chance for Karma to come in and actually help Kelly Kelly win the title. I mean, that's what's going
to
happen.
I just want to bring this up with you guys here. When do you think we're going to see Karma debut? Is it going to be SummerSlam?
SummerSlam.
That's what I'm thinking.
Heard from. Hopefully, they might shoot the gun here. What they need really is Beth Phoenix to come back and Summer another. I think that's who they'll have. They'll have her and Karma at SummerSlam.
I mean, are we still enjoying the build of Karma in terms of people trying to jump her and it's just not working? She's sort of almost just like a brick standing there.
It's good, but then why doesn't she attack Kelly Kelly? That's just pointless. I don't understand that point. She should be attacking everybody, unless them two are sort of going to somehow, there's some sort of something going on similar to the Winter Angelina love storyline in TNA, where sort of something's there that's not quite meets the eye.
Yeah, it'll be... Hopefully they don't ruin it and have some sort of stable between Kelly Kelly and Karma.
It could be the KKK as you predicted the other week.
That's what I did predict. Yeah, you know, we go 15 or 12 plus rating or whatever everyone else wants, and you know, KKK come out. You can have big entrance. You could have Karma with Kelly Kelly on her shoulders. They could do some insane spot off the top. And it'd just be amazing, you know. That's what my personal thought is, but I don't really see that happening, just not yet. But anyway, guys, let's move away from my dodgy predictions. The next match on here is Jerry the King Lawler versus Michael Cole in a Kiss My Foot match. We saw on... Yeah, you laugh because it's just completely pointless and irritating.
Machine's come out yet again.
Oh, God. Why do we need to see this? But I was just sick of seeing this feud just end it. It's boring me. But, it's just, why on earth they keep doing this? It's just not. I think people have been crying out that this should end months ago.
It should have ended at WrestleMania, really. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have started.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
You got to look back at it. Like, what the hell was Jerry Lawler doing in one of the main events against The Miz for the world title in, February? It's just ridiculous.
Well, the other thing we've got here is that Jack Swagger's turned on Cole because Cole was rude. You know,
they turned the other week though, but then they're best mates. That's
if they do that swerve again, I swear to God, I am not going to watch Raw for the rest of my life. If they make that,
can I get that in writing?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I just jump in here?
Yeah, go for it.
It's just something that's just jumped in my mind. Obviously, I'm probably a bit older than you guys. Jerry Lawler, as quite well known, he was involved in angles with late comedian. No, I'm talking about the late comedian Andy Kaufman back in the 80s. You probably all know the story. You may have seen the
Man in the Moon,
Yeah, well, I was watching, I've actually got documentaries about it as well. Now, long story short, he had Jimmy Hart on his side and he was going against Lawler. And then they did a turn where, you know, Kaufman and Hart turned on each other. And then he asked Lawler to be against Hart and his goons. And then right there when you're thinking that Kaufman and Lawler are a team and they're all going swimmingly, they've done a massive turn again. And obviously Hart was teaming up with, you know, Kaufman again and turn on Lawler. Now, listening to all this about this Swagger thing, it all sounds very familiar, if you know what I mean. About, like, you know, the ones from the mates, then they turn each other, then the mates again, then this is happening, that's happening. So if they go into the pay-per-view not being the best of friends, it wouldn't surprise me if Swagger just, you know, helped Cole out in the end and bish-bosh.
It's a good suggestion, I think. I think the thing is, though, like the last three pay-per-views, the heels have gone over. So I would guess that Face is going to win this time just to end the feud. I don't know what you guys think of it.
To be honest, I can't see him actually ending the feud here. I think we may well see it end either at Money in the Bank or probably more likely SummerSlam, just because it's a main pay-per-view. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kai, why don't you give your thoughts on this?
Oh, this thing feels like it's been going on for like a year. I think that they'll end the Jerry Lawler Michael Cole thing this week, and I don't see Michael Cole going over at all in this match. I have absolutely no interest in seeing it though, but I don't think they're done with Michael Cole and his heel character. I think he'll move on to something else, but I think they're going to finish it this weekend, and hopefully they finish it this weekend.
Well, yeah, I think we'll leave that there with our thoughts of just finish it now, but we'll see what happens. The second to last match on my card here is for the World Heavyweight Championship, and it is Randy Orton versus Christian. Personally, if I'm going to predict someone, I'm going to say Orton to win. Just don't see WWE thinking that Christian can hold the title, as we clearly saw a few weeks back on SmackDown. Well, at least not yet. Guys, why don't you give your thoughts on it? George?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Orton as well. I mean, it could be very stupid of WWE to sort of have the title change again. It will just damage the title as such. The World Heavyweight Champion should never have changed since Christian. Christian really should have lost it if he was going to lose it at this event. He should have lost it on SmackDown. But I'm saying Orton will win.
Yeah, do we think he's going to move on from here, though? Do you reckon we'll still continue this feud or as such?
Who else after? Can he feud with, though? That's the problem. SmackDown's so short of stars.
Well, that's just Sheamus, I guess. That's the only reason I say maybe Hunter coming back onto SmackDown. I mean, it's a possibility, but it's unlikely. As you mentioned, Sheamus, that's probably the most likely. But Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts?
I definitely think Randy Orton's going over. I think that this rematch is pretty much just a time filler until they can hopefully build somebody for Randy Orton to feud with. I mean, they have Mark Henry and Sheamus there, but let's face it, Mark Henry's not a main eventer. Sheamus was a main eventer, but they've buried him so much over the months that I don't consider him a main eventer. But maybe they'll push him back there. Randy Orton goes over. This is probably, or in my opinion, I think this match will steal the night even more so over John Morrison and, John Cena and The Miz. But I'm going to take Orton.
I would agree with you that it will be match of the night. I think you're going to get Randy Orton and Christian again at SummerSlam. I think Christian's going to turn heel quite soon as well.
Yeah, I think you guys have got pretty much put the nail on the head there with the match of the night, which I was going to ask you later on. But let's move on to that main event, as Kyle mentioned there, which is The Miz versus John Cena in a I Quit match for the WWE Championship. To me, it's kind of frustrating that we saw this match happen on Raw a few weeks back, right after a pay-per-view. It does really not encourage me to buy it. So it's just, I can't see them, well, I don't know, it's just, I hope they don't do the same again. But Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts?
Well, this feud's been going on for a while, but I actually don't mind it. I'm looking forward to this match a little bit. I think that John Cena is going to retain the title. The feud will end, and eventually we're going to build to Alberto Del Rio and John Cena at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it'll be. I don't know whether they'll do Del Rio versus Cena at SummerSlam. It'll be interesting to see. But George, you got any more thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm going to go for a John Cena win. Do you not notice though that both the main events have both been on free TV in less than 4 weeks ago?
It's a bit of a top laugh, isn't it?
It's a laugh, as if you're going to pay for that when you've had it for free. But no, I think Cena's going to win. I just think sort of they're going to have to keep him strong to face Del Rio, as Carl said. Carl hit the nail with a hammer, exactly, again.
Yeah, I think it's really discouraging to go out and buy the pay-per-view.
Sorry to change something. Can I raise something? Do you not notice how Del Rio is not even on this card? I know I mentioned it earlier. It's a bit of a big loss.
Yeah.
Go
for it. I'll leave you.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and I am quite surprised that they couldn't at least find him like a filler on this pay-per-view to destroy or something.
I can see him actually being thrown in the Mysterio and R-Truth match and making that a three-way. That's the only thing I can really think of. George, you got any ideas?
I sort of think that they should have really chucked him in there. Although, if you look on the card, Sin Cara is also on the card. He's going to face Chavo Guerrero. Perhaps they should have chucked him in there as well. Maybe made it like some sort of triple threat, but I don't know. It's just stupid not to have Del Rio on the card at all. He's just the life and soul of Raw at the moment, in my opinion. He's been really, really funny.
If I could just jump in, I think the fact that he's not on the card means that he plays a big role the following night on Raw. I mean, a lot of the pay-per-views the last few months, from what I've noticed, is that, you know, it's usually a carry-on, be a direct carry-on, you know, whatever the main event is on the pay-per-view. Yeah, be some sort of rematch or a tag match involving the people the next night. I think that, you know, they'll start building the next main feud for the SummerSlam or whatever it is, you know, on Raw, and it will be, I think, with Del Rio. Because I think, although, I mean, it's just a personal thing of mine. Sean, you probably know after reading my stuff, I think The Miz is just well out of his position being in the main event. And I think that Del Rio is an old school heel. He's there. He's to be hated. The Miz is just annoying as a heel, whereas Del Rio, you know, can easily be hated. And I think building up for him and Cena for SummerSlam, that would be something worth watching. You know, there's not many people that are Cena fans, not many who consider themselves smart that, you know, are Cena fans. But that match, I think what that could be is it could be something quite good, to be honest with you. And I think that is the way that they'll go, or it definitely is the way they should go.
And I want to plug Stu's website there, as he mentioned some good articles over there at www.wrestlingslasthope.blogspot.com. That's my nice plug in for the night.
Can I ask your opinions of who do you think will win out of a Chavo Guerrero and Sin Cara on the pay per view? Sin Cara,
I think.
I think he'll watch up, but I think Sin Cara will win.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. He'll probably mess up.
What about you, Carl? Who do you reckon, Sin Cara or Chavo on the pay-per-view?
I'm taking Sin Cara. I'm actually looking forward to this match. I'm looking forward to their feud, actually, in general.
They should bring back the lightweight title. They really should.
It'll be nice to have...
They don't do nothing for fans,
well,
you know.
Well, TNA killed it. Why don't they just give them the X Division title?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard... to change the subject, so you kind of mentioned TNA. Have you heard the latest story about TNA and the X Division title?
Abyss is the new X Division champion.
No, Eric Bischoff.
Not that one?
No.
Eric Bischoff winning a match?
Eric Bischoff trying to kill the X Division?
Apparently, TNA have confirmed that Destination X... the pay-per-view is July the 30th, 20th, something like that, is going to be just basically X Division matches.
What?
The whole pay-per-view.
They've spent the last show last night killing the X Division. How the hell are they going to do that?
I don't know if they're going to recover in time.
They're going to have the World Cup. They do need to have the X World Cup. That's the only way that will work.
I'm just looking at the poster now, and apparently a lot of people are saying it wasn't real. And I'm just looking at it now, and there's a reason why people would think that. But now, apparently, he has been put on the TNA site. The reason I'm thinking it's not real is because the ring they're showing it is a six-sided ring.
Would they bring that back? Can anyone see them bringing it back?
It looks like they are.
I just want to add one thing. The X Division was already killed, but was already dead before last night.
No, I agree with that. Do you not think, though, about last night, that it was the big relaunch, yet they're still in the same impact zone? It killed it before it started.
I agree. Yeah, it's...
Let's get off that subject, though.
We've talked about it the last 3 weeks, and we slated it. I mean, so are we all going Cena for the win?
Cena will win.
Unfortunately,
yes.
I'd love it if the Miz won, though. It'd be so funny.
The only other few questions I have here for you guys is, has there been enough build for you to... do you think the cash you're going to spend on it is worth the money at first sight? George?
No, I wouldn't say so. I think, as I said earlier, you're getting two matches at the main event that you got for free. It's been less than 3 weeks build up on the pay-per-view. I think Cena Miz has sort of had some build, but the other match sort of has been rushed. It's all because Edge got injured, really. I think this is just sort of last-minute panicking. I don't know what anyone else thinks.
Kyle, your thoughts?
Well, George hit it on the head with, you know, they already gave these main event matches away for free on TV. They really haven't built this thing very well at all, in my opinion. The whole Christian and Randy Orton thing has been half-assed. You know, they pulled the title off him immediately, and then they just kind of put him back together here for a rematch. Miz and Cena's been gone, but we've seen it so many times, and they've given away on TV, so I think the build's been poor.
Yeah, I just don't see this pay-per-view being taken seriously anymore from, you know, the way they've built it. They've just sort of given up, especially after that night with The Rock.
Well, when you have a Kiss My Foot match, it's going to sell. Just watch.
Okay, right. There we go. Sarcasm. There you have it. We have it.
It's not exactly Bret Hart versus Jerry Kinnorla, though, is it, from King of the Ring? Let's be honest.
That's true. It's not even close.
Do you not think that Michael Cole and Raw should have been going on about his athlete's foot? But, oh, no, that wasn't mentioned.
Their foot should be amputated.
Yeah, definitely.
I love the way they have Michael Cole's tattoos as well. I'm going to get myself one of them. I think that looked good on me.
Let's get back to the
well,
show.
Well, why don't you go ahead and plug your website with the audio and the Twitter and the Facebook and whatever else you feel like plugging.
Sure. All right. It's ineedwrestling.com. It's exactly how it sounds. You can find us also on /ineedwrestling. We're also on Facebook by searching I Need Wrestling. And as Sean pointed out, we have audio. We run recaps for on Monday nights and Thursdays for the flagship shows for Raw and Impact, and we also do every TNA pay-per-view and every WWE pay-per-view.
And can I mention you don't do things for Impact, you do it for Impact Wrestling. You should.
Oh God, did I mess that up?
You did indeed. So yeah,
I can't get used to it. I'm still going to call it TNA.
Yeah. I think everyone's
still TNA, but I screwed.
How long do you reckon this Impact Wrestling thing will last? I reckon by January it'll be back to being TNA.
They'll get bored. Yeah, they'll be bored of it and they'll give up.
Despite their big billboards right in WWE headquarters.
There's one thing I wanted to point out, though, because you guys were talking about the video game, the mobile video game that's coming out here, or did come out. You know, you guys mentioned that it hasn't been updated for the new brand. Well, according to, you know, reports, the TNA says that they've been working on this brand for over now, and it was not in response to WWE. Well, if they, in fact, were working on this for over a year, why is the game not updated?
Because they're retarded.
Simply put, thank you, you answered it.
No problemo. Stu, do you want to go ahead and plug your website as well?
Well, yeah, you've already kindly done it for me, but yeah. It's wrestlingslasthope.blogspot.com. No real new articles popping up as much, you know. I rely on other people to do the articles, to be honest with you. I did a little one myself about Savage. As soon as I heard it this afternoon, I just did a quick little blog on there. But yeah, other than that, it looks good, that's about it. But obviously the content-wise, you know, needs to be improved. But I get some good articles. It's just a case I need to get more.
And you can check out your photos from the Noah show, I believe, as well.
They are posted on there. Yeah, there's not many of them, to be honest with you, but they are on there. It was a bit of a mark out moment for myself getting a photograph with Japanese wrestler Kenta. But
I saw it. That's pretty neat that you got to take a picture of him.
Well, guys, let's wrap this up here, and we'll be right back with TNA Sacrifice review. So stick around.
It's a debate that has raged for years. Who is the greatest WWE superstar ever? Now, with the most controversial DVD release of the year, World Wrestling Entertainment proudly presents the shocking countdown. WWE's Top 50 Superstars of All Time. Over 8 hours of legendary encounters, epic battles, and unforgettable moments.
No call for the beer man!
50 in-depth profiles, and 50 larger-than-life superstars.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
Just bring it!
Number one. You'll only find out with WWE's Top 50 Superstars of All Time. Own this controversial countdown now.
Laugh or Cry TV, every Thursday at laughorcrytv.com. Your ringside seat to my adventures inside and outside the wrestling ring.
We are back here on the Aftershock Pro Wrestling Talk Show, where I am joined by Mr. Stu Rogers, George Jones, and Kyle Patton from ineedwrestling.com. We are here for the next 10-15 minutes discussing TNA Sacrifice, the pay-per-view which took place in the Impact Wrestling Zone last Sunday. We kicked things off with Mexican America versus Ink Inc., and the winners were Mexican America. They won with a distraction from Rosita and Sarita. Guys, I want to ask you, was this a strong opener for you? And what did you think of the match in general? Why don't you kick things off, Kyle?
It was an okay match. I don't have a problem with it. It wasn't nothing special, though. It's just a shame that Hernandez injured another wrestler, Jesse Neal. If you guys all recall, you heard Doug Williams a while back. But it was an okay match. It wasn't anything special, but I think I did predict it wrong. I think what Mexican America went over, I think I picked Ink Inc. for this match.
Yeah, I believe me and you went with Ink Inc.
I got it right again.
Again.
Okay, why don't you just rub it in?
I'm only joking.
And George, you go ahead with your thoughts and opinions on this.
Yeah, it was just your average match, really. I sort of thought that the reason why I thought Mexican America would win is because they sort of needed heels to win to challenge like whoever the champions were going to be as such. But I don't know, I'm getting bored of Mexican America. They're really bad workers.
To be honest, it was a poor opener for me. It wasn't anything fast-paced, and it wasn't the world's greatest match. It was just sort of a opener that was kind of there. But yeah, it was just a match that was almost like a filler. Guys, let's move on to the next match, which was Robbie E versus Brian Kendrick. Brian Kendrick won after he reversed the neckbreaker and into a dropkick. Guys, thoughts and opinions on the match, and are you bored of Kendrick's gimmick? Like I am, I just don't see the point in him doing yoga halfway through the match and stuff like that. It's just strange to me, and it doesn't really do any favors. Kyle, why don't you give your thoughts?
I've gotten past being bored with his character. I just start laughing at it now. The match is nothing special, but I did actually enjoy watching him fly around a little bit. Robbie E's, I'm totally done with him, and I don't know. Right now, like I said, for me, Brian Kendrick right now, I just look at him and pretty much laugh. That's about it.
And, George, why don't you give your thoughts?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad match, really. I thought it was a bit stupid to have Kendrick win a match by standing dropkick. Made Robbie E look really weak. But I think on like the coming week's Impact, they're trying to build up Kendrick, despite him looking at the lights every single edition. It just makes me laugh, really. I don't see the point of him getting the win here, unless they're going to do something with him. I'm surprised Cookie didn't get involved. What the hell has happened to Robbie E? He was like sort of the X Division champion. He's just become a laughing stock now.
I think he was a laughing stock right from the beginning, in my eyes. I mean, we were discussing before he came on air, George, me and you, about how he's a gym teacher after he's doing Impact. Imagine how many kids are going to laugh at him and how you do the fist pump and stuff like that from Jeff.
He had a cool gimmick, though. It did really work for a while, but the minute he lost that title, it just sort of, like, he seemed to just disappear.
Yeah, and the shark cage match, and that's...
Yeah, it's spot on.
That was where everything went downhill for me. But I've
got that match wrong, by the way. I want to hold my hands up.
I think we all got it wrong, actually, didn't we? I can't remember. I think I predicted Robbie E.
I thought Robbie E.
Yeah,
it took
E. So remember, TNA's got a hurt on for him.
That's it. That was the one.
Exactly.
There you go.
I guess it must have worn off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this PG?
We can. You see, now it's recorded. I can do some editing if you really want. But there was nothing.
Come on, let's carry on.
Madison Rayne versus Mickie James for the Knockout title. We had an interference from Tara, which caused Mickie James to win, allowing Tara to be free and Mickie James to retain her Knockout title. Guys, was this too predictable? Because I think we all pretty much guessed it, that it was going to be this, the result even. Thoughts and opinions, George?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad match. I think there was a good bit in the middle where you sort of never knew which way she was going to go, Tara. But it made sense, as if Madison Rayne would really have signed up for this match. Just the whole storyline perspective is a joke. It did look like, though, that when Tara hit Madison Rayne, she did hit her quite hard. It was quite a nasty bump to take. As such, she sold it really well. I don't know what you guys thought of the Impact shot to end the match.
Do you want to elaborate on that, Kyle?
I didn't enjoy this match at all. I mean, it was a little bit... And she could have gone either way, but you know, it was pretty obvious, I think, to most of us that you know, Tara was going to be set free and Mickey would hold the title. But to me, I'm not a big fan of women's wrestling, period, but I often refer to the Knockouts as better women wrestlers than, you know, the performers or the divas over in WWE. But this match did absolutely nothing for me. I thought it was a terrible match.
You've got to admit, though, this had like 3 months build up, and then when it eventually happened, it's just been a letdown.
Again, it seemed just sort of as a time filler for the other matches on the card. But yeah, it was just sort of there. It didn't really do much for me. If you were watching my version of the copy of TNA, you would have watched the title, the main event next after this. And
what? Yeah. The challenger really muck it up?
No. It was my bloody Virgin Media box. They cocked everything up. So I ended up watching... I went from the Madison Rey match straight into the title match, which was bizarre, but, you know.
Oh, well.
But up next, as far as I believe in the original version, was Kaz versus Max.
Yeah, Black, that's correct.
For the X Division title. Kaz ended up winning, but as we mentioned earlier... Abyss is now the champion for some bizarre reason. Max Buck escaped the Fade to Black and Kazarian hit the Shining Wizard for the win. Guys, what do we think of this? For me, it was I enjoyed the match. I think we did say Kaz, if I remember correctly. All of us.
Yeah,
it was...
this was definitely match of the night for me. It even got This Is Wrestling chance. It was the loudest like sort of audio throughout the whole night, in my opinion. It was a really good match. The Shining Wizard was awesome. It really made me sort of like be positive about the X Division for a short while until like the next Impact Wrestling anyway.
Yeah, you mentioned the crowd there. I actually thought they were a little bit more noisier than they have been in the past.
It's because haven't got to stay for 6 hours. It's only because it's 3 hours, probably.
Does anyone know if they actually pay to get into pay-per-views or again?
They do not.
Oh, my God.
Universal does not allow TNA to charge anybody for any of their events there.
So if you were sneaky, you could have gone and saw... like sort of like quite a lot of like matches in like the same month period for Soddle. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you can either pay $50 to see it on TV.
If you live in that area.
Or you can go down and actually watch it live, and you can be right by ringside. You know what you can do. No wonders why they've got struggles with cash, as far as we know. But guys, let's move on to the next match, which was Abyss, our new TNA X Division champion even, versus Crimson. And Crimson won. Thoughts and opinions, guys. It was an enjoyable match. It wasn't anything spectacular. Well, personally, for me anyway. I noticed TNA really do like Crimson. I don't know whether it's his build or just the way he acts. But, guys, thoughts on it? George?
Yeah, this match was predictable. We all said Crimson last week. He's on a huge push. It wasn't too much of a bad match, really. I think the thing is, though, they should have had Abyss win this match if they were seriously going to take him, like, sort of promote him ready to get a title. But, no, it wasn't too bad. It was just your typical brawl with two big men.
Yeah, I think it was just kind of there. And I think, if I remember correctly, Abyss got his wife out and started threatening to hit...
Janice?
Janice, yeah. Out the with it. And that was about it, wasn't it? And it wasn't... No one ever believes it. Abyss is going to hit.
The whole way, though, the next night, sort of on the next Impact, he won the X Division title was just such a joke, really.
I haven't seen it yet.
You will do. It's pretty much the death of the X Division for the next month, in my opinion.
Until they get 2 weeks up to
Destination X.
And they go, shit, we've got nothing. And panic. But, Carl, what's your thoughts on this match?
Well, by the way, I thought the X Division match, too, was also match of the night. But this match is predictable, definitely. And, you know, TNA's got a rocket underneath Crimson right now. So I definitely see them or him feuding with Samoa Joe next, hopefully at Slammiversary. They obviously, if you watched Impact Thursday, are leading to something like that. So I'm hoping we get to see them, too. And I don't know what your guys' thoughts on Crimson's reactions with crowds, because I know it's hard to judge with the Impact Zone or Impact Wrestling Zone, whatever the hell it is now. But I don't know. It seemed to me on this week's Impact that he actually got a crowd reaction for the first time. I could be wrong, but it seemed like maybe people are actually starting to pay attention to him. I don't have a problem with him personally, though.
You mentioned pay, Impact Zone, crowd, and some reaction to those words. If you rearrange them, you've got Impact Zone paid to make noise for Crimson. You know, so that may well...
I think the only thing with Crimson that lets him down is he hasn't really got much of a like character, such in terms of microphone skill. It just seems to be like silent but deadly. I don't know. That's just my opinion alone.
I agree with you.
No, I think
he needs to get a personality.
He's kind of just there, isn't he? He's just sort of the person in the background, the slightly taller, muscular dude. He's not really got any big... like cardio or anything. Why don't you go ahead, Carl? I believe you can say something.
I was just going to say, and I kind of think that's TNA's fault. I don't really think they've given him too much of a chance with the mic. I mean, they did give him a few backstage segments or whatever, and, you know, when they tease the whole main event mafia stuff, but they're just making him out to be a monster. So I think the personality part of it is not really his fault too much, but you're definitely right. There is no personality there. He's just destroying stuff.
Let's move on to the next match, which was Hardy and Chris Harris, or Matt Hardy and Chris Harris, sorry, for the TNA Tag Team titles against Beer Money. Beer Money ended up winning. Guys, I actually really enjoyed this match personally. I possibly contender for the match of the night, but I'm not someone's Stu's just put Matt Lardy and Fat Harris there in the chat.
That's nice.
Yeah, really nice. Guys, thoughts and opinions on it? Kyle?
You know, actually, I forgot that this match was that took place this Sunday. This is actually probably my favorite match of the night. I loved the little mini feud that James Storm and Chris Harris had during this match. I thought that was excellent, and I loved how Chris Harris tried to show him up with the Spine Buster, and then Robert Roode came back with the Spine Buster, and the whole finish I thought was cool. And I was happy that Beer Money retained. I thought this was a really entertaining match.
Yeah, the finish, as you mentioned there, really did signify that
what was going to happen. Basically.
Yeah, what was going to happen, and that I don't think James Storm wants to go back in and form the group again. But George, why don't you give your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a good match. It was predictable who was going to win, but no, it was a good match. Chris Harris didn't actually look out of place. It'll be interesting to see if they have a feud. Although I think it looks like he sort of isn't doing anything at the moment in the next few weeks of Impact. It doesn't look like he's booked. I don't know whether that will come later, but no, it was a really good match. It was surprising, really, how good it was.
It's nice to see that already TNA are bored of someone that they only brought back 2 weeks ago.
It was meant to be the big reveal at the pay-per-view, but they chucked it away. Please, Spike TV.
Yeah, well, there you have it. You know, just bored of him already. Let's move on to the next match, which is Tommy Dreamer versus AJ Styles. I believe this was no holds barred, if I'm correct.
Correct.
And then Tommy Dreamer tried to grab onto the ropes, which was, I don't know whether he forgot or that was done on purpose, or it just didn't seem to really make sense to me. But anyway, this was a terrible result for me. I don't know why on earth they did it, but Dreamer ended up winning. It just doesn't do anything for AJ and just makes him look even worse. George, why don't you give your thoughts?
I got this match so wrong. I really thought AJ should have won. I don't know where they're going to go. I sort of think it needs to be Bully Ray versus AJ quite soon, but although it looks like AJ and Dreamer are going to go at it again, it's just ridiculous. It was very much a basic match. I wasn't impressed at all. AJ had to win here, and he sort of lost. It just, even when he was getting attacked, sort of you expect him sort of somehow to come back. He really has gone downhill in TNA's like sort of rankings as such.
Yeah, I don't know. AJ, he used to be the face of the company, and now he's nothing more than, you know, just someone who can maybe reach higher mid-card and is in fortune as someone at the back. Carl, why don't you give your thoughts?
You know, I don't know. This was terrible. I'm Tommy Dreamer, I don't buy him as a heel for one thing. Two, I thought that, both in this match, I think we might have talked about that a little bit last week. And I thought then they threw Tommy Dreamer into this whole mix. So I thought maybe that, AJ would go over Tommy or Dreamer and then he would meet Bully Ray at Slammiversary. Well, now he loses to Tommy Dreamer. I'm just sick of TNA in general burying the talent that should be leading this company, in my opinion. Guys like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles should be leading this company. I'm a big fan of Sting, but a 52-year-old world champion is...
because of them hype videos that WWE sort of garnered interest.
Yeah, but I just think the TNA's pushing the wrong guys, and I just wish that Tommy Dreamer was not a part of this. I just wish Bully Ray and AJ would do their feud and AJ would go over.
Yeah, it's kind of just like get it over with and make sure AJ comes out looking better than Tommy Dreamer does, or as you say, Bully Ray. But guys, we're running out of time here rapidly, so let's move on to the Jarrett's versus Kurt Angle and China, with the winners being Kurt Angle and China. Did you guys find this match really boring, especially after this past week's Impact, which
ended up... What a letdown. compared to the lockdown match, it was such a bad match.
It was just, yeah.
It was obvious that Kurt Angle and China were going to win. We all said that.
Yeah, and I think pretty much anyone that has briefly watched TNA can have guessed that that was going to be the result. But after this week's Impact, where they've said that
it's going to be another match again at the next event.
It's just tiring and tiring. It's like, why on
apparently
earth
it's the Olympic gold medals.
Well, oh yeah, because if he loses it, he's coming over here, isn't he, in 2012? I'm going to go just see Kurt Angle and boo him. Just hold up random signs that criticise him for his drugs. And
I love it how China was at the event, like the pay-per-view, and now on Impact, it's sort of like she seems to have left TNA already.
Yep, it's just stupid booking and no one thinking. Kyle, what was your thoughts on this?
Well, you guys are probably tired of hearing me. I'm absolutely sick of this feud. This is another feud I wish that would just go away. It seems like it's been going on forever. The match was a letdown to me, too. I completely agree with you guys. I thought it was pretty predictable that China and Kurt would win, but I did think the match would be better. It was kind of cool to see China do about two moves. I mean, she hit a pedigree and like a forearm, and an ankle lock. So it was all right, but definitely a letdown compared, you know, for their build that they had for it.
You could also tell China hadn't been in the ring for quite some time. She botched a few moves and she was only in for about a minute or so, from what I can remember. But guys, let's move on to the main event of the evening, which was RVD versus Sting for the TNA World Heavyweight title. Sting ended up winning, and following the match, Sting and Anderson stared down as the show closes. What was your thoughts and opinions on this? Personally, for me, I thought it was an alright match. It was nothing spectacular, nothing too bad. It was just kind of, well, it's there, it's done. Just didn't really have that much of an ending for me. But, George, why don't you give your thoughts?
Yeah, it was an average match. For a world title match, what a letdown as such. The outcome was predictable. We all knew Sting was going to win. I think sort of, yeah, it's just average, really. If I paid for this on pay-per-view, I'd have been very annoyed.
Yeah, it's just, you know, why do we have to have this kind of ending of just people staring each other down? And now you have
sort
to go
of,
and
obviously,
watch.
At least they're trying to build to the next event, though. At least we know what the next event, main event's going to be.
The thing is, you've now got to watch Impact, which is on free TV, you know.
And Impact then, Wrestling.
Impact Wrestling, my bad. Sorry, I'm going to have to edit that post-production. We can just have a clip of you saying Impact Wrestling or me saying Impact Wrestling every time and just go over it. But no, it was just kind of frustrating that you've paid for this on pay-per-view and now you've got to pay for the next pay-per-view to see what you actually wanted to see in the end, or watch it on free TV to see what happens next. But you know, that's TNA all over. Any closing comments on that, guys? George?
Yeah, it's just a... TNA really needs to start delivering to their fans what their fans pay good money for the pay-per-views, and all they're getting is the same like rehashed crap every single like month. Sort of, where the hell is TNA's passion? At one time they wanted to try and catch WWE. At the moment they're getting further and further behind. They're even getting outscored by Tough Enough in the ratings, and that show at the moment is just a joke.
We won't get into Tough Enough today, but we should do it some other time. George, Kyle, have you got any other thoughts on this?
Well, just quickly to add to your main event thing, because you guys pretty much hit that on the head. That match wasn't no 5 or 4 or 3-star match, but I thought it was decent, and the right man won, leading to our build for Slammiversary. But TNA as a whole, I mean, as we're closing out here, for a company that is renamed, you know, their product Impact Wrestling, I really don't think destroying the X Division, you know, showcases their applies to that name. I don't know. TNA needs to focus on their wrestling if that's what they're trying to brand themselves as, and they just need to, I don't know, hopefully they'll take the title off of Sting at some point here at Slammiversary, because 52-year-old world champion, even WWE doesn't do that, except for when Vince McMahon won it.
Well, guys, let's just give a star rating out of 10 for the pay-per-view in general. For me, I'm going to say 6.5. Kyle, what's your rating?
Wrestling matters, right?
Yeah, apparently.
I'm gonna go with a 4.
Okay. And George?
I'm gonna go with 3.
You're gonna go with 3, okay, so I'd be
fine.
It's the worst, one of the worst pay-per-views I've ever seen in TNA's history. I'm not being rude, it was just so bad. at times. I sort of had to switch off and then put it back on. I couldn't watch it whole in one sitting. It would put me to sleep.
You hey, did Sean. Actually, yeah?
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious how you would rate that a 6. I mean, seriously.
I was going to say a 5, but seriously, thinking about it, I couldn't think of like sort of any highlights of it. If you ask me to remember bits of it, you just can't remember.
Well, as the same as George, if I watched it in multiple parts, not even like hour blocks.
Over here, if you want to sit for it, you had to sit for like 4 hours of it. Can you imagine that? Oh, what a waste.
I mean, yeah, 4 hours was an awful long.
With the adverts.
Yeah, and they cut adverts in the middle of the matches. So I was watching today, and we had RVD versus Sting, and halfway through, they cut straight into an advert, which made.
Did they cut out all the blood out of interest?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
But no, it was, and they cut halfway through in promos and stuff. It's just not very good.
That will, I think, very soon TNA will get taken off challenge. It'll be pay again, I reckon. It's only a short matter of time, really.
Yeah. Oh well. Does anyone actually buy that chat thing?
Nah. I don't know. Yeah. Sorry. can't say that in the podcast.
Can't say that. No. But guys, let's close this up here. That was TNA Sacrifice. Kyle, why don't you add or plug the website once more before we go?
Sure, it's ineedwrestling.com, exactly how it sounds. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Not hard to find. Check it out.
And why don't you plug yours, Stu?
Wrestlingslasthope.blogspot.com. On Twitter, WLH_Stu, if anyone wants to follow me. See what random rubbish I keep on posting.
And to like us on Facebook is www.facebook.com/ Aftershock Wrestling, or you can follow me on Twitter, which is at Sean Wolford, SEANWALFORD. Guys, I want to thank you for coming in tonight and recording with us. This should be going up in the next day or two, and I will speak to you again sometime then. Good night.